Hello, I'm Ronnie Floyd, Senior Pastor of Cross Church. Thank you for tuning in today. Cross Church is a faith family that is passionate about sharing the love of Christ with the people of Northwest Arkansas, Southwest Missouri, America, and even the world. I thank you again for tuning in today. And please know that the entire Cross Church congregation and I invite you to join us in person at one of our 5 regional campuses. Come and be a part of our friendly, compassionate faith family. Go to crosschurch.com to learn more information about our fellowship of believers.
What is your mountain? That's been our theme for about 3 weeks now. We've talked about going up to the mountain. We've talked about being on the mountain. Today we're going to talk about coming down the mountain. This past week I was in San Antonio speaking to a group called the National Prayer Committee, about 100 or less people in the room who lead major prayer ministries all across the United States of America. As I was talking to them, I began to share with them about a moment I had in college when God spoke to my life, and God altered my life in the immediate and is still doing it because of that conscientious, intentional decision that I made on that particular day, on that spring day, in the small college that I attended in Texas. I call it a Sinai moment. I'm not trying to glorify it to be to the same level that Moses's was, but for me, it was a Sinai moment. In my life, it was a moment that prepared me. It prepared me to live for the rest of my life. And that's really what a Sinai moment is. It's a moment that prepares us to live for the rest of our lives. In fact, I hope that you've had at least one Sinai moment in your life. A moment when the Lord speaks to you about something, and that moment altered your future immediately and might even still alter your future to this day. When you look at the 32nd and the 33rd and the 34th chapter of the book of Exodus, it's really important that we have complete clarity about what is going on in each one of those chapters. If you're not careful, you will get confused. And so today what I want to do is that I want to establish clarity so we can interpret the text accurately. In Exodus chapter 32, Moses was on Mount Sinai, and he was receiving the Ten Commandments written on the tablets by the finger of God. In the 32nd chapter, when Moses came down the mountain, he found the people living in idolatry. You remember that? They made a golden calf, and they were dancing and celebrating and worshiping the golden calf. And here's the prophet of God with the tablets of God in his hand. He became so enraged by the idolatry of the people and so disappointed in Aaron, his brother, who had led him to that moment. The Bible says he took the tablets and he smashed them on the ground. Needless to say, God judged the people. In Exodus chapter 33, God had to use chapter 33 to put Moses back together, to give him what he needed for the future that God was calling him to. And God wanted him to go back on Sinai to get the commandments again. And he had to prepare Moses to go to Sinai on that day. In chapter 33, he talks about what God did with Moses to get him ready to go back on Mount Sinai. We look into chapter 34 of the Exodus, and Moses goes back on Sinai again. Now thank God, the favor and the mercy of God prevailed. And once again, the finger of God wrote on the tablets the Ten Commandments. And after 40 days of prayer and fasting, for the second time, Moses heard God, and he walked down the mountain with the glory of God in his hand, but the glory of God had literally was shining on his face, and his face shone brightly, the scripture says, and he was full of radiance, a glorious and special radiance of God. Therefore, today, what I want to do is that I want us to spend time in the 33rd chapter of the book of Exodus. After the disappointing experience in chapter 32, God uses chapter 33 to speak to Moses and put him back together. You know, the longer we walk with Jesus, there are times that we are just like Moses, where we get so frustrated with the way people are living. And while we may not have tablets to smash, we get enraged at times when they're not being all God wants them to be. And we need to experience what 33 talks about in Exodus. It's a powerful account from the Word. I want to read it in chapter 33, verse 7, all the way through verse 23. If you have a pen in your hand, you might want to make a few notes along the way. Because when you look at parts of this passage, this is one of the most dynamic, illustrative passages you'll find anywhere in the Old Testament. Chapter 33, verse 7. Look with me to the reading of the Word. Now Moses took a tent and pitched it outside the camp, at a distance from the camp. He called it, notice this, the tent of meeting. You say, what's the tent of meeting? Read on. Anyone who wanted to consult the Lord would go to the tent of meeting that was outside the camp. So if I were to ask you what was the tent of the meeting, you would answer, when you wanted to consult with the Lord, you would go outside of the city and you would go into the tent of meeting and consult with God. Now, let's continue. When Moses entered the tent, the pillar of cloud would come down and remain at the entrance to the tent, and the Lord would speak with Moses. Now, what was the pillar of cloud? The pillar of cloud was a sign and a symbol of the presence of God. You remember the pillar of cloud would be upon the people in the daytime, and the pillar of fire would be upon them at the nighttime, indicating the presence and the protection of God upon them in the moment. Well, here's Moses. He is gone inside of the tent of meeting, and the pillar of cloud is literally right over the tent of meeting, and it would remain there as long as the Lord would speak to Moses in the tent. As all the people saw the pillar of cloud remaining at the entrance of the tent, they would stand up and then bow in worship, each one at the door of his tent. And the Lord would speak with Moses, face to face, just as a man speaks with his friends. And then Moses would return to the camp. His assistant, the young man Joshua, son of Nun, would not leave the inside of the tent. This is a remarkable observance here, because even as God is preparing Moses to go back on the top of Sinai, God is also preparing Joshua to one day take over and to be with the people there in Israel. Well, the scripture goes on to tell us that, The scripture goes on to tell us these words over in verse number 12. Look at this with me now. Moses said to the Lord, "Look, you have told me, lead this people up, but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. You said, I know you by name, and you have also found favor with me. Now, if I have indeed found favor with you, please teach me your ways, and I will know you so that I may find favor with you. Now, consider that this nation is your people." Look at verse 14. "And he replied, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest." Oh, what a powerful statement. You do know that the presence of God will give you rest in your life? Let's continue to read. "If your presence does not go," Moses responded to him, "don't make us go up from here. How will it be known that I and your people have found favor with you unless you go with us? And your people will be distinguished by this from the other people on the face of the earth." And the Lord answered Moses, "I will do this very thing you have asked, for you have found favor with me, and I know you by name." And then Moses said, look at the plea, "Please let me see your glory." He said, "I will cause my goodness to pass in front of you, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will have compassion on whom I have compassion." But he added, "You cannot see my face, for humans cannot see me and live." The Lord said, "Here is the place near me. You are to stand on the rock, and when my glory passes by, I will put you in the crevice of the rock and cover you with my hand until I have passed by. Then I will take my hand away, and you will see my back, but my face will not be seen." What's the tent of meeting? It was the place people would go to consult with the Lord. And God used the tent of meeting to prepare Moses after the disappointment of the 32nd chapter of the book of Exodus. When he would walk inside the tent, the pillar of cloud would come upon the tent and the presence of the Lord would dwell and the people would stand and then they would bow on their faces to God in worship because they honored the presence of the Lord upon the tent of meeting. And then he would go back with the people. And Joshua would stay in the tent and let God prepare him to one day take over. Now there's a key note that I want you to remember today, and that is that Moses was already concerned with leading God's people to the promised land. He knew that the people were rebellious and they were bent in rebellion. And he told God, he said, God, I don't want to go up and lead them anymore unless I know that you're with me. Unless I know you're there, I don't want to do it. And Moses said, just leave us here if you won't go with us there. Well, the Bible tells us in the 33rd chapter, I will not read it again, but in chapter 33, verse 13 through 18, you see a second time here that in that conversation with God, he pleaded with God. He begged God, God, would you set us apart by your presence being upon us, and we want to see your glory. So what is the glory of God? When Moses begged God, please let me see your glory, what was he wanting to see? He was wanting to see the presence of God. The glory of God is the presence of God. And I want you to note that if you're taking notes today. That's what the glory of God is. It's the presence of God. You see, Moses wanted to be set apart by something. Not by his charisma. Not by his looks. Not by his dress. Moses wanted to be set apart by the presence of God and the glory of God upon his life. He wanted a distinguishing mark of the people. And he didn't want them to be distinguished because they were intellectual or they had seen the wonders of God. But he wanted them to be distinguished by having the presence of God upon them and the power of God upon them. Because he knew there was no chance the people could ever honor God without the presence of God. There's a statement I want you to notice here today. And don't take the statement lightly. Moses was desperate for God's presence. Are you desperate for God's presence in your life? Moses was desperate for God's presence. An honest question that I need to ask myself today and an honest question you need to ask yourself today is this. Am I desperate for the presence of God in my life? Every one of you here today, are you desperate for the presence of God in your life? In Exodus chapter 34, the Bible says the next morning God invited Moses to go on top of the mountain again with him. And when God passed by him, he begged God to let him see his face. And God said, if you see my face, you will not live. And God made a covenant with Moses and assured him that he would have and see the wonders of God and the presence of God would be with them. And then he instructed Moses with what to do in leading the people. In chapter 34 of the book of Exodus, look at it with me. Beginning in verse number 28, look at the text today, a powerful text here in the text again. The Bible says, Moses was there with the Lord 40 days and 40 nights. He did not eat food or drink water. Now listen carefully. That's the second time that Moses fasted that long. And it was within a certain segment of time. All he did was come down the mountain, hang out with God at the tent of meeting after being so frustrated with the people. And in time, God took him back on the mountain. It's the second time he went through fasting and prayer of that nature. And the Bible says that he, God, wrote the Ten Commandments, the words of the covenant on the tablets. As Moses descended from Mount Sinai with the two tablets of the testimony in his hands, as he descended the mountain, he did not realize that the skin of his face shone as a result of his speaking with the Lord. And when Aaron and all the Israelites saw Moses, the skin of his face shone. They were afraid to come near him. But Moses called out to them. So Aaron and all the leaders of the community returned to him, and Moses spoke to them. And afterward, all the Israelites came near, and he commanded them to do everything the Lord had told him on Mount Sinai. And when Moses had finished speaking with them, he put a veil over his face. But whenever Moses went before the Lord to speak with him, he would remove the veil until he came out. And after he came out, he would tell the Israelites what he had been commanded. And the Israelites would see that Moses' face was radiant. And then Moses would put the veil over his face again until he went to speak with the Lord. While fasting and praying for 40 days and 40 more nights, God gave him the Ten Commandments, and he wrote them again with his finger. Moses descended from Mount Sinai with those Ten Commandments for the people, and the glory of God was on his life. He had been with God, he had sensed God, and his life was marked by God and the presence of God. There's a powerful thing here that we need to learn today. Our lesson today is not complicated. In fact, it's quite simple. But when you have a Sinai moment in your life, a Sinai moment in your life is marked with two things. I want you to notice them today. The first thing it's marked with is that God has given you a word for your life. God's given you a word for your life. There's nothing like it when God gives a word for your life. And then it's marked by a second thing. You're set apart by the presence of God to be with you as you fulfill what God has told you. You know, I can do a lot and I can get away with a lot of things, and I can have a lot of courage and a lot of boldness when I know that God has spoken to me in my life. I mean, when I know God has come on my life and God has spoken to me straight from His Word, I'm telling you, I can have enormous boldness. But if I don't have that, then my boldness becomes shy. And my tendency is not to be sure. But if I got a word from God, man, I can go after it. Because I know when I have a word from God, the presence of the Lord will be upon me with His power. There's nothing like it. Let me ask you today, have you had a Sinai moment in your life lately? A Sinai moment where God has taken you on a journey and He's given you a word for your life, or a word for your situation, or a word for your marriage, or a word for your kids, or a word for your future. I mean a word. If you've got the word in you, it's amazing the boldness and the courage you can have in your life. Do you have that word? And boy, it's nothing like walking in it when you know God has spoken His word to you. You know, I tell people all the time when I speak to them, you need to give yourself a chance to win. You need to place yourself in your life with your best shot to win. As Christians, we have a tremendous opportunity to do this. Let me illustrate this for you this morning. Let me do it by asking you just a series of short questions. For example, why should you have a time with God every day in your life? Why should you find a time every morning or at night or whenever you can in your day to draw aside for 20 or 30 minutes and just read the Word of God and let God speak to you? Why should you do that? Let me tell you why. To give yourself a chance to win in your spiritual life. Because if God speaks to you, you all of a sudden have increased chances for survival and victory. Let me ask you this question. Why should you set aside a few days every year to seek the Lord? We just encouraged our people to do that some in this 21 days that we had. But why, whether it's 21 or whether it's 3, why is it important that you in your life draw aside on your own? I'm not saying you have to fast. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying where you just draw aside and say, okay, I'm going to let God speak to my life. I want to just position myself to hear. Why is that important? I'll tell you why. Because you need your best chance to win. That's why. Why should you come to worship on Sundays? You thought about that lately? Why should you be in worship lately? Why should you be in worship every Sunday? What is the importance of that? To give yourself a chance to win. To hear the Lord speak to you. And why are all these things important? I'll tell you why. Let me give you the answer. The answer is you need a Sinai moments in your life. Sinai moments. Moments when God gives you His Word for your life. And you're set apart by them. And you have His presence to go fulfill it. There's nothing like it. When I think about some of the steps that we've taken in this church through the years, it's happened because of those Sinai moments. Many of them. I remember there were days I'd walk all over this property here at Pinnacle Hills. And I'd go out by that creek and I'd beg God to give us this property. I felt God wanted us to have this property. And God gave us this property. I pleaded with God, with men, and we walked all over this campus that one day God would give us a campus on this property. And we'd pray and we'd walk and we'd walk and we'd pray and we'd ask God. And in time, God gave us this campus. Anything that's ever gone good here, it's been because somebody got a word from God and we acted on that word. There's nothing like it. There's nothing like standing and declaring what you know God says. There's nothing like it. It's a Sinai moment. And when you begin to walk in that moment, man, it's just filled with confidence in the Lord that God is going to use it and God's going to speak through it. In the last couple of weeks, a man by the name of R.C. Sproul, a scholar, he passed away, went to heaven. Sproul said in his lifetime, and I quote these words, he said, "We do not segment our lives, giving some time to God, some to our business or schooling, while keeping parts to ourselves." He said, "The idea is to live all of our lives in the presence of God, under the authority of God, and for the honor and the glory of God." And that's what the Christian life is all about. Man, that's so profound. You say, "Well, that's good." No, it's profound. Because we're not here to segment our lives. I'm going to walk with Jesus over here, and I'm going to go do my business here, and then I'm going to go to the school, and I'm going to live here at the school. And over here, this is me time, me time, me kingdom, me time. Nobody else, no. Sproul said the idea is that all of your life belongs to God. All of your life is under the authority of God. All of your life is for the honor and the glory of God. And he said so wonderfully, that's what the Christian life is all about. You agree with that? Boy, I agree with that. About 5 years ago, I told this story, and I want to tell it again today because I think it's so appropriate looking at this passage. Elizabeth Elliot, one of her books was a book about a missionary to India by the name of Amy Carmichael. In Elliot's book, A Chance to Die, the life and the legacy of Amy Carmichael, she stated these words about Amy Carmichael. And she said that Amy Carmichael had a great longing, and that great longing was to have a single eye for the glory of God. A single eye for the glory of God. For 50 years, Carmichael served in India. And her heart for those 50 years in India was for the glory of God. And having a single eye for it meant that she would not let anything else enter her vision or distract her vision or blur her vision from what God had called her to do. Let me ask you this morning, what do you have a single eye for? Do you have a single eye trusting in the God of heaven? A single eye for the glory of God. Give yourself a chance to win today. You need a sunny eye moment. A moment when God speaks to your life and you get ignited by the Holy Spirit to go and to live out that moment according to His glory. I mean, look at it. When people drive by this campus, I don't want us simply to be known as, "Boy, that sure is a pretty church. Oh, sure are big crosses. What a nice lake." No, I want us to be known for, at that place, there's something different about that place. Every time I go there, the presence of God is there. That's what I want us to be known for. And you don't want your life to be known that you're a wonderful woman in the business world or you're a wonderful guy in the business world. Life's deeper than all that. You don't want to be known simply as a teacher of education in some school that is the epic teacher in your school. Important, but it won't last long. You want those kids to know when that guy looks at me or that woman looks at me, I sense there's something different. And that difference is God is on their life. And maybe they can't define it, and maybe they can't put their arms around it, but man, they just know there's something about it. I've heard a lot of preaching in my life, have you? And I'm telling you, I've heard a lot of preachers, and I've heard some eloquent preachers, and I've heard some very, very wonderfully intellectual, brilliant preachers. But those are not the greatest preachers I've ever heard. The greatest preachers I've ever heard are those men when they get up. Man, I mean, you're waiting because you know God has given them a Sinai moment, and they're going to stand up and they're going to unpack it and they're going to tell you this is what the word of the Lord is for us today. And it shakes and it rattles your life. That is far beyond somebody playing intellectual gymnastics with me over some scholastic idea out here that about three people care about in the entire Bible. Because that won't make me live right. Well, that's what Moses was known for. When he came down that mountain, God was all over him. I like good music, but I'll tell you what I like better than good music. I like music when the power of the Holy Spirit just falls. We've had some of those moments where he just comes and dwells. Nothing like it. Nothing like it. We need that today. We need that in our life. We need it in every segment of life. God, I don't want to be distinguished, set apart because of this, this, or this. But Moses said, I want God's people to be set apart with the presence of God on earth.